This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus over there. I want to thank 23andMe.com/doubt for
this show. I
want
to thank them
show.
Also. I was just thinking about them as I was lifting weight this morning.
Oh, yeah, getting back to your Neanderthal status.
My Neanderthal status.
TrueCar.com and FigLeafApp.com. We'll tell you about those guys in a second. I sound a little different because I had oral surgery about an hour ago.
Okay, so this is ironic, I suppose, or maybe coincidental. Did you go and they put you under or did they just,
Well, okay, first things first, with all of this stuff.
Right.
I'm not a fan of people rooting around in my mouth.
Just in general. I'm with you.
Just in general.
1,000%.
And I've had a lot of it in my life.
Glad you're not a girl.
I've had a lot of discussions where they say, you want the nitrous? And I go, yeah, I'll take the nitrous. And they go, you don't really need the nitrous. It's a root canal. And I go, I know, but do you have nitrous? And they go, yeah, we have nitrous. And I'll go, why not bust it out? And then I had a dentist who goes, I had an 11-year-old girl come in here the other day. She got a root canal, no nitrous. Yeah. Thank you for the shaming, doc. Now roll in the nitrous. Look, if I was trapped in a cave and had to saw my own arm off to run to freedom, I would do it, but I don't have to. You have nitrous. Put me under because you have it. Like if this was Civil War days, I'd be drinking laudanum and biting on a wooden spoon. But you have technology. Why not be as comfortable as I can possibly be? And they go, well, yeah, but we could do it. Like, we could do it in the fucking parking lot. But we're here and you have the drug. So
you know,
I said,
back in the days
put me
of
down.
Perkins Palace. We used to have nitrous tanks.
Oh, my God.
And
I know.
Do you remember the nitrous tanks?
I will tell you, more than one death has been caused by. So when I was a young guy, they'd steal the tank from the medical supply,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
There's two ways you could do nitrous.
Oh,
there was
let's
the safe way them. And the irresponsible way. The irresponsible way would be some guy would go to the back of, you know, Valley Beth, whatever hospital and break open the cage in the back and steal a full tank.
And the cage used to have that sign, you know, flammable, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right. Take the thing and then everyone would take turns taking hits off of the nitrous. And then once in a while, you'd hear a story about a couple of guys who died because they put the nitrous tank in the back of the pickup truck and they ran the hose into the cab. And then they both got really high and then they both passed out and nobody was in charge of shutting the nitrous tank and they died. Now, the responsible way
was to go to the market
you could go do the, you know, cool whip
right.
thing. But that's still not the
responsible
way.
There's a more responsible
way? Absolutely.
Okay, because the reason I first knew about nitrous was my mom's brother, who I don't know if whatever happened to him. I haven't seen him in years. Johnny, Uncle Johnny, was a dentist. And like all dentists, he hated his life. And
sure.
I've never met a dentist. He just hated his life. Always was looking for something else. Every dentist always is looking to do something else. But he was early money on nitrous. He used to when he would be done for the day, I remember he'd have Playboy magazines on the table because that was where as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, I first discovered Playboy. And he would take a whiff of the nitrous before he goes home.
It's good for what ails you. Uh-huh. And the responsible way to do nitrous for all the kids that are listening, nitrous is used as a propellant as well. Thus the whip it.
Right,
that's the whipped cream.
Right.
Okay. So you would then go to the restaurant supply store They would sell them in these mini cartridges.
Well, yeah, you used to be able to get those at the market. We used to buy them at the market.
Like if people are making seltzer water or something like that. But the restaurant supply place would sell little thing. They were the size of a half a cigar.
Right. They used to call those, I think we used to call those whippets.
Yeah, whippets, I think.
Yeah.
And they would take them and you'd screw it into this cartridge, which pierced the end, and then you'd have like a balloon.
A balloon.
Like
on
a
it.
Punching
right.
balloon.
Right.
And it'd fill up fill the punching up. Balloon.
Then you'd take the balloon and you'd. There was a very. There was a technique to it. You'd pull it like this, right? On the
you'd
end.
Pull it out wide and it'd suck it all up. Now,
and
the reason.
Yeah.
The reason that's the responsible way to do nitrous, kids, is because you can't do more than what's in the balloon.
Exactly. Except this is a problem. Years ago, because I hadn't smoked marijuana for years. Marijuana was a big thing when I was in college in the 70s, and then I just stopped. And then years ago, somebody introduced me to a vaporizer, which was the same principle. But I found that after doing the vaporizer, I was driving and it took me like 4 hours to get from Pasadena to La Cañada because I just was so gone. But the nitrous, I always felt like in the balloon, you could not knock yourself out.
You could get into a state that was sort of knocking on the door of fun without being passed out. And then 4 minutes later, you'd be perfectly normal.
Right.
So I got the nitrous, but I am a mouth breather, so it's tough for me. They do the nitrous on your nose,
right?
And then they give you the sedative, and they put you under.
So you did that today?
I did it an hour and a half ago.
Wow, that's some dedication to do the pod an hour and a half after. Because I had oral surgery also about a month ago, and I was good for about an hour and a half, and then I hit the wall afterwards. It's like when the nitrous wore off, I think, the full effect of it.
I have a weird constitution, and the constitution, I have a high threshold for pain. I have a high threshold for clarity. Like I don't get that screwed up by things. You know, there are things which is like if my wife – gets a batch of bad hibiscus tea, she could be down for a month. Just, I don't do any of that. I don't have, it is part and parcel of an entire picture, which is I can eat hot food. I can eat spoiled food. I can eat food that's been on the ground. I can do anything. I can eat anything. I can sit out in the cold. I don't get sick and I don't get thrown off.
That's a very, can you do, well, let's see. You were not drinking Don Julio. Were you drinking Don Julio?
Yes.
Yeah?
At your house.
And you were very clear. The clarity was with great precision.
A lot of that comes with practice. But no, I'll tell you the perfect example, which my listeners know, but you may not.
Okay.
As we all know, Dr. Drew's a puss. And he has like no bedside manner. He was sitting where you were sitting yesterday, and I said, tomorrow I got to go in and get oral surgery. And he went, ugh. Which is always weird because he's a doctor. If it's one of your mom's Jewish friends, that's fine. But he's a physician. He's like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. I always tell him, don't do that. You're a doctor. So he had the exact same hernia surgery that I was going to get about 12 years ago.
The laparoscopic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the mesh thing or whatever it is.
Exactly. They did the same with me.
We were doing Loveline.
Does everybody have, is this just part of our rites of passage? You got to have the hernia, the oral surgery, the usual.
It's also one of these things where how did anyone see their 48th birthday back in the day? Because I would have just died and bled out when I was 43. So I had to have the surgery. And I literally had the surgery scheduled for Friday evening. At like 5 o'clock. And I said to Drew, I'll see you Sunday night. We're doing Loveline. And he went, no, you won't. And I said, yes, I will. And he said, oh, you won't. No, 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 no. You're going to be in bed for a week or two. And I said, I don't get it. It's laparoscopic. I think I'll be fine. He said, oh, no, you're not coming in Sunday night. That if you're doing it Friday evening, you're not coming in Sunday night. I'll guarantee you that. As a guy who used to work for a living, driving an automobile and then sitting in a studio and talking doesn't feel like physical exertion.
I always say, when somebody complains at the office, I said, you're not exactly working at a construction site or a coal mine.
Well, my math was the same as yours, which is you're sick, you can't come in, so you're going to sit at home and sit on your computer. Why don't you come into the office and sit on the computer and not feel good?
Exactly.
If you're a roofer,
stay 10 feet away from me, close the door, and just do your work.
If you're a roofer, I get it. So I said to Drew, I shall be in. He said, no, you shan't. I said, okay. I went and got the surgery. I got home about 8 o'clock at night on Friday night. I was a little discombobulated because I was totally under. I had some pain meds, blah, blah, blah. Went to bed early for me, which is like 10 o'clock at night. Woke up because my clock had been screwed up. I woke up at like 6:45 and I just sort of popped out of bed.
Huh.
And this was, 12 hours after the surgery. I stood up and I sort of went, I feel fine. I think I feel fine. And then I said to Lynette, I'm going to the new house. I'm going to hang some doors. And she went, and I went, okay. And then I just left. And I just went and hung doors the following morning. And I felt completely and utterly fine. I didn't grit my teeth and push through the pain.
Well, as you're talking about this, I remember when Drew had his cancer surgery, I remember seeing him very shortly thereafter. Were you there? Was he for 4th of July? Do you remember? And it was like, I was surprised by how quick he was back in the thing, but he was moaning.
He's always bitching
and
oftentimes belly aching. So had the surgery.
Okay.
My thing with the surgery, I had a couple of notes.
Okay.
One is
this is today's?
This morning.
Okay.
Yeah. I was laying in the, I was in the chair reclined. The speaker was directly over my head and they're playing reggae music. Hmm. And I was like, nothing says oral surgery like reggae music. I said, I hate reggae music. And it was electronic reggae music. Jeez. So I said, what are we playing reggae music for in a dentist's office getting oral surgery? And they said, you want us to switch it? And I said, yeah, put jazz on. And then I paused. I said, but wait a minute. It's a surgery. The surgeon, does he like the reggae? And he's like, yeah, this guy likes the reggae. And I said, I don't want him getting sleepy with my jazz. And they went ahead and switched it to the jazz anyway. And then the next thing that happened, big analog clock on the wall, just a big white-faced analog clock on the wall right in front of me. And I walked in and I noticed we were 15 minutes behind on that. Right. I checked in at 9:15. We putzed around until about 9:30, 9:35. I walked in to get prepped. I looked at the clock and it said 9:15 and we didn't get there till 9:18. Wow. So I said, your clock's wrong. And the reason I said your clock's wrong is because people are disoriented and being put under. And so when they come back, they're just going to be staring at the clock and that'll be whatever time it is.
Right.
And it was 20 minutes off. So you will have thought you're under for an extra 20 or less 20 or whatever it is. So I said, why don't you set your clock? Now, Lynette thinks I'm an asshole, but I'm like, you have a clock. First off, can we examine why people own clocks? Look, why do you have a clock? Well, so people know what time it is. Okay, so if the clock is wrong, then clock.
This is like a ongoing for 20 years. We've got a clock in the kitchen, and Paulette keeps it 20 minutes ahead. And I said, why is the clock 20 minutes ahead? She goes, so I can fool myself. I said, I know, but I've now brought this up to you 400 times.
You said it.
You said it. You set the clock and it's 20 minutes ahead and you know it's 20 minutes ahead. So how is that doing anything to you?
I know it's like a fat guy going, I'm going to take my scale and I'm going to back out 50 pounds. It's like, okay, woo, 177, feeling good. Like, no, you're 235. Well, no, I changed it. Like, if you know you changed it. So I said, we should fix the clock.
Yeah.
And she tried to fix it, and she couldn't fix it.
She was going backwards or forwards,
she was
or
trying,
just couldn't get
it wouldn't work. And then she said, oh, it needs a battery. And then she called someone to go get a battery. And then they put the battery in it, and then it went all the way around and then stopped at midnight, straight up midnight. And it just stopped there. And I said, what's going on? And she said, it's an atomic clock. It's going to take a while to sync up with Zurich or wherever the atomic clock is. And I'm like, oh, well, now this is worse because I'm going to go under and then I'm going to come back and it's just going to be midnight again. Like, I'll have no concept.
Well, this is the difference between you and me. You're worried about coming out. I would be at that point worried that if they can't figure out how to set the clock, I don't really want to go under with this idiot squad.
Interesting point. Yeah. All right, take care of your business.
But guess what? Let me just tell you one thing. New sponsor, by the way, and I'm very happy about this, Fig Leaf Security. Do you know that the world's first privacy story took place about a millennia ago? And after chomping on forbidden fruit, gaining the knowledge of good and evil, guess what? Adam and Eve, they used fig leaves to intentionally conceal their newly discovered nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
Today's world, though, where online activity can bear our most private information, I mean, when you do naked selfies, fig leaf is a powerful symbol for what individual users need to fully enjoy their online lives with peace of mind. Websites, advertisers want to know everything about you. You don't want them to know. We live in a world where personal data sharing is expected, whether you like it or not. Fig Leaf is today's tool for controlling and protecting those parts of ourselves we would prefer to keep private. Fig Leaf, an all-in-one solution to ensure total online privacy, everything you need to stay private in one app. When using Fig Leaf, a person this is what I like about it. You get to define the level of anonymity that you're comfortable with. So you gain full control on your online presence. See for yourself, figleafapp.com. So
I want to know, sorry, about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, let's talk about Kevin
Spacey. I was interested in this, and it came up on the news on my show. He was accused of groping a 16-year-old waiter, busboy, something.
18 who was apparently lied and said he was 23.
Well, okay, quickly, I heard 16 and now he's 18, or I'm unclear on how old he was at the time.
Well, this is part of the problem with this case. And I like this case, I enjoy digging into this case.
He was at a restaurant.
Okay, he's at a restaurant. His lawyer, by the way, is Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson, AJ, who I've known for many years, who's also married to a Kasabian. Did you know that?
No.
It's an interesting fun fact.
Is that the same as a Kasabian?
Yeah. It's like a Kasabian, Garagos.
Right.
So AJ represents him. They were just in Nantucket, I believe. The allegation is that he was at the restaurant, that he was getting – that they were drinking, that the person worked – the accuser worked there, that he was off, changed clothes, and had a lot to drink, that at some point he was groped, felt up, whatever, by Kevin Spacey, and then apparently took a Snapchat, although the Snapchat may be the shortest Snapchat of all time. It's apparently 1 second, and it shows a hand next to a leg, which I don't know. It's not exactly, the confession video.
The first thing I brought up as it pertained to the underage aspect of it, which was part of the story, although we'll see if that's still part of the story, is as an attorney, would you make the argument that I don't check everyone's ID, but if you're employed in a restaurant, I'm assuming you're 18 years.
If you're employed in a restaurant that serves alcohol, that's better than an assumption. It's pretty good because
right.
If the restaurant
we
knows
can
that you're
can we
there.
Take the statutory rape or whatever the underage aspect of it off the table because you worked at a restaurant that served alcohol?
You can add this fun fact, which is usually a defense in most jurisdictions. If the person is lying to you about their age and there is a reason to believe that that given the circumstances, it's reasonable. They say they're 23, like this guy did, and he looks like he could be 23. That can be a defense as well. So that to me is off the table.
Yeah, I get the part where Jake LaMotta has a club in Miami and he's looking at IDs. But right. If there's nobody asking for ID and someone is in a place, they've already gained entry into the place. They're working there. They're hanging out. They're eating. And they go, I'm 23. I don't think it's incumbent upon you at all to ask for ID if they look like they're 23.
And what self-respecting 18-year-old doesn't have a phony ID to begin with?
Right. Okay. So the age thing is not part of it.
Age thing is ridiculous.
Now we get to groping. I'm trying to define what groping is and how much can take place in that environment.
Now, I had a case many years ago with Andy Dick. Do you know Andy?
Yes.
Okay. Andy was accused of groping somewhere in West Virginia, a bouncer at some club. And so when I did the preliminary hearing, I had to get into it with the bouncer. Like, where was his hand? Was it from the back? Was it, the back going up to the front or the front going up to the back or this or that? This one is supposedly, if you believe this story, and this also is kind of a ding, 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 telltale sign, the guy is not only getting groped, but he's saying his junk is outside of the pants, that it was unzipped. That, to me, if you're going to Snapchat something, you'd Snapchat that, wouldn't you?
I guess. But how does the junk get outside of the pants?
Apparently the Kevin Spacey, besides doing amazing imitations, also has Houdini qualities to get the junk outside the pants.
When you look at cases like this and you think, all right, if Kevin Spacey wasn't Kevin Spacey and he was just Joe Nobody, would we know about this?
Let's add some more facts. The guy is texting with his girlfriend, the accuser. Apparently texting his girlfriend and she's not alarmed. She's not calling the police. He's not calling the police. Apparently a year goes by. There's accusations that are made in Hollywood, hence why Kevin Spacey, I assume, has got AJ as his lawyer in L.A., who travels with him to Nantucket. And then they file a felony, of all things, in Nantucket. If this is Kevin Dacey, I doubt that this case gets filed.
Do they file as part of a money grab? Or do they file because they want justice?
The mother of the kid was a former anchor woman, and I forget which network. I want to say NBC. I could be wrong. And she went out and made the announcement and started drumming the drumbeat.
So this takes place. So
Over a year.
The broad strokes.
Yeah.
He works at the restaurant. He gets into his street clothes. Uh-huh. He presumably joins the table for some drinks.
Right. Is excited about it because he's texting his girlfriend.
Knows Kevin Spacey's Kevin Spacey.
Correct.
Kevin Spacey's...
At the time is probably at, I believe, at the height of his career, maybe, or at least has not been Frank Underwood put underground.
He has put his hand on the kid's thigh, maybe taken his junk out. Maybe the kid took his junk out. Again, it's very unpopular to say things like this. But if you're able-bodied young man and you're sitting next to a guy who attempts to get your junk out and you don't want him to take your junk out, there are many ways to prevent that. You can stand up. You can sort of scrunch over. It would be very difficult.
You could pour a drink.
To do that. Right. So no harm, no foul, no police report, anything.
No fresh complaint.
And then a year goes by. They hear other allegations and they go, now it's time to file.
Yeah. And so now, then AJ, who's the lawyer, asked in court yesterday, for them to preserve the texts and whatever else, although I don't even know if they've got them. One would think that they would. But, you know, sometimes the carrier will destroy texts or won't save them, SMSs or things like that, for longer than 90 days.
Is when you're whether you're the judge, you're the DA, or you're the attorney, when you hear that stories where an alleged crime went down, but it was never reported, and then a year later it was reported because some other crimes that were similar went down, how much does that compromise at least what you're thinking about? Okay, now everyone knows if you're waiting at the line at an ATM and some guy comes up behind you and bashes you in the head with a snow shovel and grabs your wallet, the cops show up and you make the report minutes later.
Right.
But where it goes by for a year, and not the battered wife syndrome, not correct, the woman living in fear, trying to plan her escape. He'll kill me if I, you know, talk to the cops.
We've got kids together.
Right. In a situation where it's just a stranger in a public place, everyone's drinking. Doesn't that compromise the case?
I had this argument with, it's actually with Sonny Hostin. We were going back and forth because I said, I've never gotten over. We were talking about consent. Can you give consent? And Sonny's point to me was, you can't give consent because this guy was drinking. And I said, I know, but then there's a real problem. I mean, consent then becomes kind of this fungible, dynamic thing. You never know. And there's actually, I looked this up, in Massachusetts, there is a case that's in front of the Massachusetts State Supreme Court right now, where a guy says that he had, forget his name, I think it was Sherman versus whatever, and they took this case, and he argued that he had consent, and then she changed her mind. And the facts in that case that's in front of the Supreme Court is that the woman willingly, according to the guy who was convicted and sentenced to prison, had willingly engaged in kissing and petting. Was petting date me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So petting, and then had said no, she didn't want to, and that she was gay, and that she didn't want to do this. And the guy says, come on, let's do it. And he was forceful. And so now he wants to know whether you have to affirmatively withdraw consent, which led me to believe, and I was telling Sonny, back in, I want to say 2000 or 2001, and I forget the name of the case. For some reason, Lowen rings a bell, but it was a juvenile case where the juvenile is actually inside of the girlfriend. They're in bed. He's inside of her. And she says, okay, enough already. And he says, hold on, I'm almost done. And so then he lasts for like another minute, you know. It's a juvenile, so he's not going to last that long to begin with. So he lasts for another minute. Held by the California Supreme Court, that is enough for rape. That he was actually inside, it was consensual, but the fact that he didn't immediately hop off when she said enough already was enough for the withdrawing of consent. Now they're going to decide this. Yeah, California, we're always ahead of the times. We were there 18 years ago. Massachusetts is just catching up.
We're essentially
now
retarded trailblazers.
I mean, that was like, okay, how many college guys do you know who, before the year 2000, if they're inside of the girl and the girl says, or woman, let's say woman, because if I say girl, then it'll be a 288. But if you're inside of the woman and the woman says, okay, enough, get off, you say, can I just finish?
Yes.
Right. That's been transformed into rape. That's the California Supreme Court. That's rape.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, we're insane. Fine. We're going off a cliff. It's fine. I don't know. There's a weird thing, which is we simultaneously want to let more people out of prison and simultaneously want to throw more people in prison. I'm not sure which it is.
Institutional schizophrenia.
It's so amazing.
But hold on. I got one.
Caitlin, look up the Spacey a defendant. I want to know if he claims to have been 16 at the time or underage.
And how we would find out? We could do 23andMe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And we'd also find out what his ancestry was and access more personalized insights based on your DNA, from your health predispositions. By the way, I was actually worried about this because they've got one for Alzheimer's, whether you've got the genetic predisposition and your lifestyle choices. One of the things, I'm not supposed to have as much caffeine, so that's why I bought two cans of diet soda. With 23andMe Health and Ancestry Kit, you get over 90 reports on your health, traits, ancestry, and more. You get reports on muscle composition.
That's you.
Find out if you have the same genetic variant common among elite athletes. That's me. Or get a genetic weight report for unique insights on which healthy habits will have the biggest impact. I missed that report. I'm going to have to go back and look. Based on your genetics, what will your DNA help you discover about yourself? What do you say, Matt?
Buy your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Kit today at 23andMe.com/doubt. That's the number 23andMe.com/doubt. Again, that's 23andMe.com/doubt.
So is the DA getting involved with this? What do you charge someone with? Is groping a charge?
Yeah,
is
this sexual assault? Felony sexual assault. Felony, which is just, you know, this is not a guy in the showers penetrating in,
right.
You know, I it's just the distinctions that are lost, the fact, and I know that we'll get, some people will excoriate us, but for those of us who were born in the 50s or 60s, this is a paradigm shift of monumental proportions.
So we believe it came across because of Kevin Spacey. He's a celebrity.
I think that's clearly it.
Is, in terms of the compensation part, people say, I don't care about the money, I just want justice. But when that part is over, now there's money, right?
Exactly. And by the way, if you get a criminal conviction, then it's a slam dunk for the civil, because beyond a reasonable doubt for criminal, whether it's by plea or conviction, is a much higher standard than clear and convincing or preponderance for civil.
Right. So the higher conviction we can get in the criminal case, the more money I'm going to get in the next one.
And you have to thread the needle sometimes, because if the target commits an intentional act, then sometimes, and that's what you get convicted of, then you may lose your insurance coverage if the insurance coverage is only for negligence. But it doesn't matter in a case like Kevin Spacey, because he's got assets and is a target.
Where's Spacey at in terms of other cases that might be brought?
That's an interesting question. I think that's exactly why he's got Alan as his lawyer. Alan's based out of L.A., and I think that most of his jeopardy is here in Los Angeles. And so those cases are still – it's kind of like Weinstein's are percolating, Spacey's percolating. They've got apparently the DA's office now and the city attorney's office, but mostly the DA's office has got a special task force that is assigned to Hollywood – groping, bad behavior, sexual assault, blah, blah, blah. So they, you know, that's always kind of, they have to do triage on the statute of limitations. Then they've got to do whether or not there's corroboration, and then those kinds of, that kind of analysis that they do that was announced.
Was he 18? Was he 16? What is the story, Kalen?
All the news outlets are saying 18.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't even a minor, right?
Also,
they're also reporting that he was saying, or admittedly said, he was 23, correct?
I'll have to look into that one.
You know what I should have done if I had been done better homework? I should have called Alan Jackson and said, Alan, phone in so we can quiz you. And then, you know, interestingly, Alan was, I think I said this already, but I wanted to bring it up for another point. Alan was the prosecutor on Spectre, and remember the Spectre trial?
Yes.
And which was tried twice, hung jury the first time, and then the second time they got in.
I've said it before, I never got why he was convicted of murder, first degree murder.
Second
degree murder.
Yeah, it reeked of a manslaughter. And I think that's what the holdout was the first time. I could be wrong.
How much of that case, Phil Spector? Yes.
I just want to jump in real quick. Mark, you were right. In the court documents, it does say that the defendant told Spacey he was 23.
Yeah, and he was 18.
Again, everything we've seen says that he's 18. There is another accuser who was 16. And then also this event happened in 2016. So.
How much? Well, there's a couple things with the Phil Spector thing. One is he goes to like the Rainbow to have a drink. He buys a $9 pina colada and leaves like a $150 tip. So I wouldn't convict the man. He's out there helping the working class folk. He literally left a 2,000% tip. He literally ordered like a Fresca and left like $200. But number one, that's mailbox money.
Right.
Number one. Number two, it seemed like he's a nut job. He likes waving guns around. He likes showing off with guns. He doesn't like killing people. He likes showing off with guns. He brings a young starlet back. He's fucking around. She dies. How much of his conviction was a history of him waving around guns?
That's why I brought it up, because Alan, interestingly, is going to have a situation where he's used other crimes stuff, 1108, 1101 of the evidence code, bringing in other accusers to parade in front of the jury when he wanted to convict Spector. He's probably going to have that situation now where if Spector denies that it happened as opposed to it being consensual, then a common modus operandi.
You mean Spacey or Spector?
Spacey.
Spacey.
Spacey, thank you. Spacey Spector. That's interesting. He specializes in SP.
So just to stop for 1 second.
Yeah.
If this had happened to Henry Winkler, forget about let's go Winkler instead of Spector. If this had happened to Henry Winkler, he wouldn't have gotten this severe punishment because we don't know him to have a long history of waving around guns.
Correct.
Is that correct?
I think that's a fair and or Alan Alda. It would be a sensitive guy, you wouldn't think.
But what then when they say, well, we have all these 911 recordings of Nicole Brown Simpson screaming, "He's going to kill me." And they go, "That's not admissible." Well, why is that not or inadmissible when waving around guns earlier is admissible?
Because after OJ, they changed the evidence code, literally.
Oh, they changed it.
They changed it. Yeah. And so, and 1101 and 1108, which are the evidence code sections, have been implemented, and then there's all kinds of law on it. And California, once again, is way ahead of the curve. I mean, you'll remember
pre-OJ, Phil Spector could have went, "You can't weave in all those times I waved around a gun. We got to stay on this case."
Back in the early 90s, he would have had a much better argument.
So we did make a change after OJ.
Absolutely. There was a lot of laws after OJ that were changed. There was a zero tolerance policy on DVs. There was now
domestic.
If you get arrested for domestic violence, even if you say nothing happened, even if the victim says nothing happened, it's an immediate arrest, automatic minimum $50,000 bail. That was never the case prior to 95 or 96.
People screw up and we all have to suffer now.
We
all suffer. So, Phil seemed incredibly harsh, but it also seemed like what they do is they give out, you know, the Academy gives out lifetime achievement awards. And it's like, the guy never really had his one big breakout moment, but he's been around. He's been in so many films.
Kind of like Carol Burnett for the Golden Globes, right?
Just give her the Cecil B. DeMille Award or whatever it is for being around and doing so much.
If you live long enough and you look good.
Phil Spector got like the lifetime achievement award for waving pistols around since the 60s, right?
Yeah. And he, like Cosby, both of them, I think, should have stuck with, like with Spector the first time around, he had Linda Baden, Michael Baden's wife. And I think that was a smart move. Yeah.
Coroner?
The coroner's wife. Linda's is an accomplished defense lawyer out of New York. She did a good job. She hung it. And for whatever reason, she didn't try it second time. Although he started with Bruce Cutler, who was John Gotti's lawyer.
Wow.
And then Cutler got a TV contract midway through the trial and then was never to be heard from again, which is kind of a strange situation.
I miss Baden's TV show.
Right?
Because, you know, the reason I miss his TV show is he is capable of something that I'm not capable of, because he'd say, and then the old professor exhumed his young Asian bride and laid her down on his bed and continued to have intercourse with her via a silk vaginal canal, which he had fashioned. And if I was delivering that, at some point, would have to go, oh, God damn. But he just keeps rolling along. Later on, he'd put makeup on her and continue having intercourse via the vaginal canal, which he'd woven out of silk. The authorities, he never did the whoa, what the fuck? Like, he never just went right on. He went right on through.
It's I did once an autopsy with both Michael and Cyril Wecht, and the two of them, first of all, and then you throw Henry Lee into the mix, and it's pretty funny because Henry Lee.
Wait, was he Quincy's sidekick? He had an Asian guy who followed him around.
Henry Lee and Cyril Wecht, maybe the best comedy duo that I've ever seen. And I mean, they're getting a little older now, but in their day, they were two of the funniest guys giving each other grief I've ever seen. And then you put them in an autopsy, which is not exactly a fun-filled barrel of monkeys, and these guys are even funnier. I mean, they just – the deadpan, literally pun
intended. Deadpan, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, Bond never flinched whenever he was telling. I mean, the best was the old professor that had the young bride, and he just kept – eventually, they kept finding her and going, hey, we got to bury her. And he'd go, okay. And then he'd go dig her up again and then have sex with her. Again, she must have been great in the sack. Wait a minute. Yeah, either way, Bond never blinked when he would talk about all the bizarre, macabre sexual curiosities. So Spacey, last thought on Spacey. This one seems a little spurious. This case doesn't seem unless
they've got, and I'll go back to the Specter Spacey rule, which is they're going to probably make a motion to do a la Cosby, where you bring in other accusers, and Allen will have to defend against that. Unless they've got some pretty compelling other accusers, this case just reeks to me of a case that's a not guilty, or it goes away, or, you know, the accuser says at a certain point, you know, I didn't want to go through with this.
But there shall be others.
They're going to. It's very rare in a case like this where it's weak, where the prosecutor is not going to come around with, here's some others, I want to get these people in. And the mother of the judge hasn't been born who's going to keep that evidence out yet.
Ballpark, what does something like this cost Kevin Spacey?
Opportunity cost or a lawyer?
Well, obviously, I mean, the opportunity costs are astronomical, right, and almost hard to calculate.
I would but venture a lawyer. He's probably got $250,000 for one, and local counsel's probably $50,000, $300,000 all in.
We'll get this one case taken care of, but then there'll be many others.
And by the way, I would counsel that you should spend more on the first one, because if you lose the first one, it's a shit show.
Who would you rather be right now, Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey.
Now, forget about public sentiment. Okay. Just from pure legal exposure.
Look, I confess, by the way, as I've disclosed before, I'll disclose it every time. Tenney works at the firm, but not on the case. And he's presently got Ben as his lawyer. And I talk to Harvey periodically, and I enjoy Harvey. I enjoy, in the sense that I think he's charming. And I know that that's probably an unpopular thing to say, but clearly, this guy was a mover and a shaker in his day, and there's kind of he's quick and he's educated and erudite, and he's got a good sense of humor. So it's difficult, because I'm fond of him personally, to separate it out. But from a purely legal standpoint, I would rather be Kevin Spacey right now.
So you were telling me that Weinstein's case was going nowhere.
I think that's correct. I think the
problem
is, but
you'd still rather be Spacey.
Yeah. Yeah, because
but that makes you gay.
Yeah.
Let me come over there and put my hand on your leg.
Yeah, but you put your hand on your leg and then...
You'd still rather be Spacey.
Yeah, well, because
you can
remove
all the judgment.
Yeah, I remove all the judgment. I'm not talking about from public perception because certainly nobody was hurling anything at Kevin Spacey. And as bizarre as that Frank Underwood impression tape that he released was, I still would rather be him on this particular case for this
reasons. I'm talking about overall.
Yeah, overall.
Okay.
Because would I rather – I assumed you were asking, would I rather be Kevin Spacey in Nantucket or Harvey Weinstein in New York?
I'm just saying 5 years from now.
Oh.
Like not
– That's too difficult. I'm gonna corral it down. Harvey
Hold on.
Weinstein,
I'm going to tease it. I'm going to let you think about it because, yes, he may
– Or would I rather be Jerry Jones who just bought a $250 million, 357-foot-long super yacht with two helipads?
I love that guy.
I know.
You ever been to Texas Stadium?
Oh, I did his depot.
Oh, that's right.
I'm gonna get violated again.
You took him to Home Depot. What's the big deal? I think people could know about that.
Yeah, I went to the Home Depot.
Yeah, you went to the Addison, Texas Home Depot with him. He's got to keep that place up. To buy some caulking. All right, you think about Harvey.
Okay, I will.
And think about Kevin in their totality.
While you're
and pretend
this,
you're
I'm
a pretend you're a competent attorney.
Okay.
And you have to defend
I get to pick
one or
one.
The other.
Okay.
Yeah, and you want your best case scenario.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell you about TrueCar. 60 seconds, that's as long as this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in a minute? Get an offer for your car. Just go to TrueCar from your smartphone or computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop up. Answer a few quick questions and get an accurate TrueCar cash offer from your local TrueCar certified dealer. You can bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. They'll look at it together, ask questions, get answers, no surprises. Then leave with your check or trade your car in and get a new car or a used car. So when it's time to trade in your car, it's time to find out what your car is worth. It's time to get a new car. It's time to get a used car. It's always TrueCar. You can experience a better way to trade in a car and buy a car. Check out TrueCar today. All right, Mark.
Okay. So the reason I would pick Kevin Spacey is this. As of right now, he has one accuser. Harvey's got two. One of the three was dismissed. Harvey's got – he's going to be in
one court accuser. Many others with hearsay and things and
exactly.
Tabloids, but one real going-to-court accuser.
I think there's also – and I know that this should not be a calculation, but you're asking me to be honest and transparent. I think a man-on-woman accusation is a harder – road to hoe than a man on man. I just think that's you, when you're picking a jury, you're going to be able to do some stuff with that as part of your calculation. And I think that the movement of the Me Too Time's Up is more focused on Weinstein as the poster child for that.
And women, sure. Yeah.
And women. And by the way, I mean, who wants to, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing. When you ask jurors who have a close relative or are married to a cop and you say, could you go or work as a cop? You're going to go back to the station if you vote not guilty and tell them you voted not guilty. And the honest juror will say, you know, I'd have some problems with that. If you're a professional woman and you're a juror, are you going to be able in New York, and you live in New York City, are you going to be able to vote not guilty and go back and tell your friends that you voted to acquit Harvey Weinstein?
Right.
And so that is a problem, even though it shouldn't be, it is a problem that you've got to factor in. I mean, you can't – the defense lawyer's job is not to change society. That's why I always say you can't litigate social movements in the criminal courtroom, but you certainly have to understand – what the impact of a social movement is on your courtroom. And so I think Spacey gets a lot wider berth than Harvey does.
Very astute. commentary. All right, basic cable commentary. Speaking of commentary, Thursday, January 24th, Irvine up on stage with David Zucker from Airplane and Police Squad and all that good stuff. We'll be breaking down his films. I'm also doing February 8th, Connecticut Fox Woods Casino, and then the Wilbur, the beautiful big Wilbur Theater in Boston. That'll be Saturday, February 9th, stand-up, and Adam Carolla's Unprepared there. Go to adamcarolla.com, find out all the info. What do you got, Mark?
I've got, the opening this month in Times Square, Prova Pizzeria, already in Grand Central Terminal. We have V Palm Springs. Mentioned Reasonable Doubts. I may give you something. V Palm Springs. And we've got Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, which is beautiful, right across the street from the beach. Tenney Mediterranean Tapas and Engine Company 28 downtown and at Terminal 8 at LAX.
So until next time, Adam Carolla. Oh, and say hi to RJ Bell and his Dream Preview on Podcast One. Don't forget about them. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Gergis saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.